Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Small details or big surfaces. Tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Okay, now let's get to the next game. Dolphins defeat the Eels 44-6. You heard that right. The Dolphins 44-6. Hey, can you translate that all? Okay, that's the Dolphins are our mosh bounce back. The bounce back of the week is the Dolphins after a loss to their rivals, the Broncos. They went up to Darwin and absolutely tore the Eels to shreds. Mosh is a place to go for smarter hair loss treatment. Most men think the only option to try and combat hair loss is to spend $1,000 at clinics or thousands of dollars at clinics. Many don't want to go all the way to doctors about it. Well, times have changed. Mosh is 100% online, so there's no traveling to doctors or clinics or pharmacies. Mosh deals with every bloke on a case-by-case basis. Their Aussie doctors will give you real advice as to where you are in your hair regrowth journey, prescribe you what works for over 90-plus treatment variations that are delivered straight to your door, join over 30,000 other guys in Mosh Hair Regrowth family, and get $50 off your first treatment with code BLOKEINABAR, all one word, at checkout. Completely customized, totally online, and cheap hair regrowth solutions for $45 a month. Smarter hair loss treatment all starts with a quiz at guessmosh.com.au. If you're on the fence, guys, first of all, Mosh support us, so support them. We really do appreciate that. But also, okay, there'll be some banter from the boys. There'll be a bit of banter. But they love you, baby. They're going to be happy that you're happy. They're going to be happy that you're happy. So just give her a crack. If it makes you feel better about yourself, give it a crack. Don't worry about the boys having a bit of banter because they love you and they'd be happy that you're happy. Well, I hope so, or they're not really your mates. Okay, let's get into it. Dolphins. What? There you go. What was that translating? Just dolphins?
That was just fins up, I think.
Okay, loosely. Okay. Loosely. Yeah. Loosely translated.
There's no word for word translation for that, but loosely that translates.
The Dolphins defeat the Eels, and I tell you what I love about this victory is that, look, I get it. Sometimes when teams go into games and they've got a bunch of injuries, it is an excuse as to why they didn't win the game. But I do sometimes, and we're guilty of it too, we excuse teams for completely playing terribly when they have a couple of injuries. And what I like about this game is it shows you that that's just not the case. Like, you know, yes, key players are important, but we're forgetting that the 17 other blokes, they're all NRL players. Like, these are not players that are like, oh, yeah, just okay at footy. These are the best of the best in a top 30 squad. And the Dolphins, ironically, they had a few players missing. The Eels had a couple players missing. One turned up to rip and tear, and the other didn't. And at the end of the day, most of rugby league is about ripping and a tearing. That's it. That really is it. Ripping and a tearing. And like, sometimes we try to overcomplicate things and we look for reasons why this didn't work or that didn't work, and we look at stats and all that kind of stuff. At the end of the day, if you've got 17 blokes that have passed the test of being an NRL player, so they are good rugby league players, are willing to rip and tear for each other, that will usually beat a side with good players in it that aren't committed to the cause, and we saw that with the Dolphins on the weekend.
Yeah, isn't it just a great reminder, rugby league, everyone's got two arms, two legs. If you want it more, you get it done.
I mean, Plath, not a starting 13. They had the guy off the bench that was doing a debut, Oren Keeley, which is one of the great names, Oren. You know, you got Mark Nichols, who was, you know, a fringe kind of first grader, coming off the bench for Wayne, but it was almost like the Wayne magic had made. He played outstanding. You got aging forwards in Jesse and Kenny Bromwich. You got Kerr, who couldn't really get a start at the Dragons. You got Sean O'Sullivan, who, you know, fringe heart. You know, like, you're going through this roster. Then you got Tessie New, who's in and out of first grade. Jakey Avarillo got released from the Bulldogs. Trey Fuller, he's an older Queensland Cup. He's been killing the Queensland Cup. Jermaine Asako, not really wanted by... You know what I mean? Like, we could, the list goes on.
Mate, there's no one in this back line, probably outside of Jake Avarillo, that 18 months ago was a consistent first grader.
And Jake Avarillo was let go by the Bulldogs.
Yeah, and even Cody Nikorima, like, he was playing fullback for South, 5'8", bench, in and out of sides. Like, it's just... Isaiah Katoa was in year 11.
Yeah. Yeah, it is an absolutely outstanding performance by the Dolphins. And what I love is they went into half time and were they down? Or at least it was a close match.
In this one?
18-16? 8-4 down.
Yeah.
8-4 down.
Yeah.
Mate, from the 30th minute onwards, it was 9-1.
Rando had a stat. Dolphins scored 8 tries in 25 minutes. Their previous record tries in a game, obviously a short history, is 7. So they beat it in 25 minutes. It's the 7th highest second half score in the NRL era.
On top of that, very unlike Jermaine Asako, he only kicked 4 from 9.
Yeah.
Imagine if he did his normal 8 from 9.
Mm. The most exciting thing for me, though, with this Dolphins and that performance, it's Katoa. It's Katoa. Like, if he keeps going like this, if he keeps playing like this, all of a sudden, when they get all their troops back, that team becomes a scary team because you don't just have, you know, like initially you had Sean O'Sullivan with Katoa. Katoa, obviously a rookie, you know, trying to learn his trade. Nikorima has actually been quite good at 6. I think he's been pretty good for the whole season for him when he has played 6. But if Isaiah Katoa can keep going on this trajectory, we're talking about a guy that's currently, you know, 3rd or 4th in the Daly M's. That is, this side, with Katoa playing the way he's playing and everyone back in the side, is a top 8 footy side.
You know, the most telling thing about Isaiah Katoa is, when was the last, like, he's what, a 19, 20-year-old halfback in the NRL. When was the last time you sat back and went, oh, fuck, he's overplaying his hand a little bit here? He's just pulling the right reins every single time. It's insane. And once again, he wasn't picked in the round one side.
Yeah, I think that was 100% a good old-fashioned Wayne play.
Oh, master stroke from Wayne.
Bloody oath it was. Yeah. But a heap of 19, 20-year-olds would have fucking thrown the toys out of the cot.
Mm. Oh, for sure. For sure. And just the... What I'm liking about his game is how well-rounded, like, his kicking game, the length of his kicking game has improved immensely. He had 477 kick meters. He kicked 14 times. So I'm just loving the fact that he is fully taking control of this team. Like, this is, at this stage, Katoa's team. And I'll be very surprised if, by the end of the year, it isn't even more Katoa's team, which is, like, a scary prospect to think. Like, right now, you know, you get this new half in, he's a rookie, he's learning his trade. Yeah, the boys would get behind him. They get around him for sure because you're a team and Wayne's telling you to. But you have to earn the right for some of these, you know, like Jesse Bromwich. He's playing the first ever bloke to play 300 games in the front row. You've got to earn the right to get those boys behind you. And if Katoa keeps playing like this, you know, Wayne's telling them to get around Katoa. But by the end of it, it won't be Wayne telling them to get around Katoa. It'll be the boys saying, no, he's our leader. We get behind him every day of the week.
So what else is really exciting about the way he's going? Like, obviously, Wayne, this will be his last year as the coach of the Dolphins. Next year, Christian Wolf's going to be the coach. You're going to have Christian Wolf and Isaiah Katoa working together week on week. So good for Tongan Rugby League.
Oh, massive.
You're going to have the coach and the 7 that are going to work together every single week.
And what have we said about Tongan Rugby League for 2 decades and probably the rest? They've had this incredible team, incredible forward pack, great athletes, speed. They just haven't had the cool, calm head at halfback to get him around. They've got it.
He's going to be a turning point of international rugby league, I think. Katoa.
In 5-6 years, he's going to be scary especially with the young Tongans coming through saying, "Nah, I want to play for Tonga rather than Australia." Another guy, Jeremy Marshall King. Mm. He was absolutely outstanding, and you know, not only was he outstanding in attack, he had 33 tackles, 0 misses, but when he just selected to jump out of dummy half like that and just tear the game open, he was unbelievable. And again, like, if you can get Jerry Marshall King continuing to improve, Katoa continuing to improve. Initially, when the year started, I was like, I just don't know how they make the eight. With all these teams that have improved and signed, all that kind of stuff, now I'm looking, they're going with a red hot number seven that seems to be, you know, at the moment, you say, what, a top five form seven in the comp?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it all of a sudden goes, okay, maybe they might play finals footy this year.
There must be three or four coaches in this league that when they play the Dolphins, they must. there's only a handful of guys that would look at Jeremy Marsh King and go, fuck, I should have signed him.
Oh, yeah.
Would he be the most improved player in the comp in the last 2 years?
It was a halfback 3 years ago.
Yeah.
It's wild. Like,
it'd be up there for sure.
Yeah.
Especially in a new position. Like, he'd be in the top five.
Him alongside teammate Jermaine Sarko.
Yeah. Bounce back from here has been absolutely.
Especially in a Wayne Bennett side, traditionally, he hasn't cared about Hawker.
Mm.
Yep.
Mm.
It's sad that Wayne's leaving next year, isn't it? Exciting that Christian Wolf's coming in.
You want to see
a few
more years with this roster,
he's
don't you?
Building something
it is,
so special.
It is going to be very interesting next year because, you know, history tells us that teams post-Wayne do struggle. Yeah. I hope it isn't the same up here, and I hope they've built something special enough. But next year you're going to see them without Wayne, Jesse Bromwich gone. All the older guys that they signed are getting older. It's going to be an interesting few seasons.
I want to give a shout. Ewan Aiken, I thought he was outstanding. I really did. Just gets, you know, he had 10 runs, 83 metres, 36 post contact, 3 tackle breaks, but 35 tackles, 0 misses on the edge there. I think that I know at full strength you've got Lemuelu, you've got Kofusi, you've got obviously Bromwich, but there's something about Ewan Aiken's kind of mobile, robust ability that I really like on the edge with the speed of the game.
I think he's locked that spot down. I don't think Lemuelu takes it back off him.
Yeah, and you reckon Kofusi on the other edge?
I think so, yeah. I wouldn't be taking Aiken out of this side.
Yeah, but like, I think there's a lot of fans that would probably go, oh, well, Lemuelu goes straight back in, Kofusi. Mm. But there's a dynamic nature to Aiken's game in this fast-moving game that I just like. He just has, put it this way, I know that he can take one out hit ups off the ruck coming out of our own if he has to, and he can run like a center or an outside back. But at the same time, I know as well in defense, he's going to be laterally as good as a center was.
Mm.
There's just something about his dynamism that I really like.
And when you have a look at this, the side that they're running with.
Dynamism? Could you Google that, please?
Six again. Play on.
When you have a look at the
read
side.
Read a book, you fucking losers. It's probably wrong.
When you have a look at the side they ran with on the weekend, like, they had Sean O'Sullivan on the bench. When you've got guys like Plath and Ewan Aitken and JMK who can play multiple positions, I don't think you need to run with a utility.
It's perfect for team dynamism, isn't it?
Is it a word?
It is. The quality of being characterised by vigorous activity and progress.
Yeah. As I said, read a book, boys.
Hey, speaking of dynamism, what about Trey Fuller?
Yeah, good was he.
Just popped up out of nowhere.
Another, and that's why, like, sometimes when I see, you know, teams that are struggling in key positions, like, Trey Fuller's been in the Q Cup, their player of the year for like 3 years, and you go, how come no one's gone and signed him and given him a preseason? Maybe they have, and I've just missed it.
You could see come in as 26?
27.
27. Yep. You could see the experience, couldn't you? Like, you see most of the time it's a rookie come in for a game like that, and their first, second NRL game, they're 19, 20 years old, and there's just errors across their game. Just, firstly, just so much more physically ready. Like, he's quite short, but some of his last man defensive efforts were outstanding.
Oh, yeah.
But just like his effort areas in behind the line for kicks were so good. He was brilliant.
They had to get a special exemption for him to play on the weekend.
Did I
hear that right? They had a lot of guys obviously coming to fill in over the weekend, but he was elite. A line break assist, a try assist, 7 tackle breaks and a try. Not bad.
Well, he was my fullback of the week. Before Reece Walsh come out and do what he did.
And as you said, if that's true, they had to get an exemption for him. I mean, Isaka, Avrilo, and you are all guys that have played fullback in the NRL before that Wayne could have gone with.
Mate, I really like him because he just gets through a bunch of work as well.
Debut last year against the Tigers was awesome. Remember he scored that hectic try off his second touch?
Yeah.
He's 2 from 2 now.
And like players like that, you know, have killed it in Q Cup for so long, sometimes they just need an opportunity in first grade and playing a few games. And you know, we have only maybe scratched the surface of what he's capable of because he's probably playing within himself at the moment just to do his job in first grade. I'll tell you, if you're desperate for a fullback at the moment, you could look much worse than a bloke like him.
And,
like,
and the backing was there, obviously, from Wayne, because the easy option was to go, all right, Cody at fullback. I saw no Sullivan into the halves. We went, no, Trey Fuller, get him in. He's ready to go.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Yeah, great game from the Dolphins. Great game from the Dolphins. Special shout out as well to Plath. How good was Max Plath?
Yeah, he's an absolute gun. It was only 2 years ago he was playing halfback in, is it called the Hastings Deering Cup, whatever it is up there. He was playing halfback and like kicked a field goal in extra time to win a grand final up there. Now to be playing lock. We did that KO show a few weeks ago and, you know, it's, Ray Stone doesn't give you much. When he was talking about Plath, he knew he was talking about one of his own.
Yeah. He definitely, as soon as you said Plath's name, he like lit up.
Yeah, I thought he was going to kill me. It was terrifying. But yeah, you could tell how excited he got about him. You just know that this Plath, they're going to pick him for Origin in a couple of years' time and I'm going to fucking hate him all over again because he's going to kill it 100%.
He's a bloody good Plathlete, that's for sure.
The psych of Plath, by the way, is some of your best.
Oh, thank you.
I was underappreciated earlier in the show, but just...
Yeah, look, a lot of the stuff I do, I feel is underappreciated, really, mate.
Really plethora of talent up there. You're up, Timmy.
Can't wait for his autobiography.
I wasn't even listening, sorry, boys.
Can't wait for his autobiography. P is for psychoplath.
Oh, yeah. So, great win from the Dolphins. Great win from the Dolphins. Now it's time to talk about the Eels.
Ooh.
Yeah. Terrible performance. To me, it looks like a side at the moment that is comfortable with kind of like where they're at. I think that even last year, it seemed outside looking in, I got no inside kind of news, but it seemed like they were almost okay with missing the finals. Again, I'm sure they went and ripped and tear in the preseason. I'm sure Brad Arthur was filthy about it, but performance like that and just some of their performances this year, I don't feel like they're uncomfortable enough. I don't feel like they're on eggshells enough of like, I know you've got to create a good environment where everyone's happy, for sure. I get it. But at the same time, it does feel like there's players in the team that are, they're not concerned enough about having a bad performance. Because on the weekend, that second half, like they just basically said, game's too fast. You know, like some of the marker work, the game, I think it was still in the balance. And, like, there was no desperation to get back to marker. There was no, like, urgency to go, they've won the contact here. I better get around a marker. It was kind of like, I won the contact. I did my job. I'm just going to lie on the ground or I'm going to take a little bit to get back to marker. There's so many occasions where I was just like, there doesn't seem like there's any desperation there.
When you have a look at their forward pack, RCG, Junior, Sean Lane, Bryce Carrot, Jermaine Hopgood, like, those guys walk into a starting spot in most NRL sides, I'd say. And, you have a look at their last 3 weeks, sorry, Kenby, but, like, didn't fire a shot against the Raiders. Flatters attack there. Played the Cowboys last week. Got up in that one. But, I mean, and you know, look Cowboys at hindsight. Played so bad, exactly right. Yeah, like, it's – thank God they got that win last week.
Because, like, you look at that forward pack, you got RCG ran for 69 metres. Polo, I think he's the only bloke to run over 100 metres, 107. Lane, 73. Cartwright, 78. Hopgood, 86. Madison, 56. Offengau, 59. Like, oh man, with a full pack like that against a team. Like, this is, you know, no disrespect, but like, Bromwich, Nichols, Bromwich, Aitken, Plath, like, you should be not necessarily like blowing them off the park at all, but running more metres than that.
They should be winning the middle battle.
Surely.
Yeah. Surely. They're doing my head in the Eels because I really want to have a high opinion of them and like backing them to make the eight because 117, they've got such a good roster. And even when you mention injuries, it's Mitch Moses. Like, I don't think there's anything else there. Like, Sivo's been dropped. I think Kelmar Tuolungi got dropped. They haven't won back-to-back this season. And they annoy me because they'll have a bad loss like this, and I reckon they respond this week against Manly. I think they'll be massive underdogs. I think they're a big chance to cause an upset because Arthur will give them a rev up. They'll fire up, they'll lift, and they'll put in a big performance. I really think they will. But it shouldn't take that. Like, at NRL level, you shouldn't need a rev up and a bad performance to get going the next week. Maybe, and I think this is a weak excuse because the Dolphins contended with the same thing, but you know, they started well. Their first half was okay, and then they just put in a really terrible 25-minute effort where they lost the whole second half, conceded all those tries. But maybe the heat, the humidity up there in Darwin, obviously quite intense. You saw the players out there. From the get-go, they were just dripping. Maybe the heat just got to them, but again...
But that's worse then.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
what you're saying is your Dolphins are mentally stronger.
But like that's what it looked like. It looked like the heat got to them and they just hit an absolute wall.
Yeah, but I mean, the heat got to them in Canberra 2 weeks ago. Well, it was the exact same performance.
Yeah, no, I'm not defending. I'm just saying that's what it looked like. Yeah.
I would love to ask a question to him. Honestly, like in the heart of hearts, do you really believe you're a premiership threat?
Do you really want to win a premiership? It doesn't look great.
Because like watching them play this year, I don't know if in their heart of hearts they believe they're a premiership threat. Mm. Like, I don't know if they do. Because I don't know if they put those performances in if they really felt that way. That's where I don't know, I'm getting this vibe where they're kind of, they look comfortable. They just look comfortable. Mm. And unfortunately, that leaves my next point. Has Brad Arthur made them feel too comfortable? Are the Eels too comfortable with making a grand final a couple of years ago? I think questions begin. Like I've been, mate, anyone that listens to this podcast can attest to this. I think we all have. We've been pretty pro Brad Arthur. Like
enormously pro Brad Arthur.
Enormously pro Brad Arthur. Like anytime anyone brought up any talk about should they go a separate way, a different way, whatever, we've shut that down immediately. I have to ask a question though. Is he the man to take him to a premiership or at the very least further? Because if they don't make the eight this year, now I'm not saying I don't think that he should be on the chopping block right now, but I am saying that if they have another year like last year, I do think that questions as to whether he should be their coach next year absolutely should be raised.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, sometimes coaches get sacked not because of actual performances, but because maybe they're not the guy that can take that next step.
Mm.
Like you can be on the ninth step, but if you can't get him to the 10th and you've got a guy that you think can, which, once again, could be a guy like Wayne Bennett, then it might be the move to make. Yeah, look at the Cowboys. When they won their comp years ago, Paul Green came in. Before that, it was Neil Henry, who was doing a great job. But the Cowboys made the decision, okay, we think we need someone else to take us to that next level. They brought him in. Same as, you know, Nathan Brown at the Dragons 15 years ago, doing a really good job, making finals, all that sort of stuff. They went, okay, Wayne Bennett's available. We think he can take us to that next step. And within 2 years, he does.
Oh, the thing I'm, like, if they were... You know, when they were finishing top four and playing in prelims, I'll be like, no, like firing seems a bit hectic. Now, look, obviously, if Wayne Bennett's on the market, you have to consider that. But, I mean, last year, they didn't make the finals. They're currently sitting 14th after seven rounds. They look like a shell of themselves. They look like a team that got to the grand final and then just said, you know what, that was good. That was good.
Yeah, and, you know, 100% Mitch Moses out, that really hurts. But, I mean, at the start of this season, if you would have said to me, hey, who would you rather have as your halfback, Dil Brown or Isaiah Katoa? I'm taking Dil Brown every day of the week.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think a good comparison is, you know, Broncos made the grand final last year. Heartbreaking loss. They're missing Reynolds, Payne Haas, Pia Cora, probably someone else, but we'll just say those three. And they're obviously missing players before. Does that look like a side that doesn't think that they can win a premiership? Like they look like, even without those key players, they're like, no, we're the best team in the competition.
Yeah. Mitchie Moses is looking better by the game that he misses. Like round one against the Dogs, smoked him 26-8. Doggies have been quite good since. Narrow enough loss to the Panthers round two, then beat Manly round three. Moses injured after that, and they've lost three of four and been very ordinary.
Yeah, oh, I just... It's a pretty poor day for the Eels. I think that they'll bounce back, I think, this week. I mean, if they don't, then you really need to start asking some tough questions. But this team is better than that. Like, look at this forward. Like, this is the forward pack they had. Apologies. Junior Polo, who's still origin level. RCG, origin level. Sean Lane, gun back rower. Like, was in talks for origin a couple of years ago. Bryce Cartwright, we know he's been playing some good footy lately. And then Jermaine Hopgood in the Origin squad.
Oh, there's two Origin forwards sitting on the bench, Joe O and Ryan Madison, two guys that have played Origin.
Like, to me, that's just... Man, that... Yeah, anyway.
You know what? Every single time that this conversation comes up about Brad Arthur, and it happens every 2 or 3 years, the players all seem to respond during that period, which wouldn't shock me in the slightest if they do get up this weekend. They got the Manly Seagulls, then they got a bye 2 weeks to prepare for the Broncos. But have you got to make that decision soon? Like, how long do you...
I think every time the conversation's come up, it's been unwarranted because they're playing prelims. So it's like they'd made... What have they made? Like 2 or 3 prelims in a row? And those conversations were coming up. The conversations are coming up now because they're currently sitting 14th on the table. But also last year, they come 9th or something, 10th? That's where it's like, it is warranted.
Yeah, I've, in all the years of like recent years saying he's been under pressure, I've never even thought he's been under any pressure or should be under any pressure. Agreed. Now the people are saying that would just about, I'd imagine they'd be starting to say, oh, he should be gone.
Mm.
It's the first time I've ever gone, all right, like yourself, Kempy, there is a bit of pressure building.
Yeah, I'm not talking about right now, but it does seem to me like there's a, you know, from Brad Arthur down, and I'm not in there, I'm sure they worked hard in the off-season, but there seems to be a comfortable environment. Like, you know, no one is really, you don't want to be walking around on eggshells, but you do, you want to feel the pressure of premiership. You want to feel the pressure of, this is a good comparison because they made the grand final recently. But for example, when you watch or when you see the Broncos come back into this year, did you, like, they're not playing like a team that would be okay with not making a premiership run this year. Whereas I feel like the Eels are kind of playing a bit like, if they don't make the grand final this year, you know, that's the way they're playing. Now, it's a long season. Things could change. But right now, it was...
They made the second week of finals 3 years in a row, then the grand final, and then 10th last year.
Yeah, so not the prelims. The second week, and then 10th last year, and then this year they're currently sitting 14th.
A bad loss, obviously, for the Eels, but shout out to Brad Arthur, who successfully broke his own record for most bottles of water consumed whilst coaching an NRL match, which he said at the same venue last year. So, little silver lining there. He's very well hydrated.
He's hydrated.
Yeah.
He's the hydrated.
The face of Mount Franklin.
Yeah.
Gets through plenty.
So, hopefully, we see a bounce back because they've got the team to do it. You know, I'm a big fan of the Eels. I love when they're playing good footy. They are so bloody good to watch. Hopefully they can bounce back. And hopefully by the end of the year, you know, they're in finals footy and we're looking back at, you know, this was the turning point for them. The crazy thing is, though, we're getting close to like round 10. Like it's not round 4 or 5, you know, round 7. We're in round 8. Like it's getting close to the kind of period of the year where you go, okay, we kind of get a feel for where each squad really is for the year. I know there's always an outlier like your Roosters that end up coming up and killing it, but getting to the business, like not business end, sorry, but like you can no longer say it's the start of the season, put it that way.
And this is where like it could get tough for Parramatta without Mitch Moses. Like I'm not sure how it lines up with when exactly he's meant to return, but he could return and then go straight into Origin camp and be gone for another 6 weeks.
Yeah, that would suck.
Let's not imagine. I reckon it's quite likely that they...
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Could occur. He'd be in my side, I think, if he's available.
I'd have Hines at 6.
Interesting.
You take Moses in one game?
I'd consider it, but if he has a few, yeah.
Because he's due back one game before.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it's one game. If he has a few, if he kills it, has a few, fucking oath. Like, absolutely, I'd consider him. But one game, heading into game one Origin, ooh, that's a big ask.
Due back round 12.
Round 12, okay. But even then, like, if we were to lose game one, would it really shock you if New South Wales brought him in for game two?
Oh, absolutely not. Honestly, I'd even consider him with one game.
Mm.
Like, if he comes out in that game, one game, and absolutely puts on a clinic, then you go, okay, let's look at it. But anyway, we'll see. Hopefully they can bounce back. I hate, you know, just same with the Demetrio stuff and the Robbo stuff. Like, I hate talking about, you know, coaches being under pressure, but we have to give our opinion on this stuff, unfortunately.
Small details are big surfaces, tight corners are odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Tsinis.
Kayla Tsinis. I'm Kayla Tsinis, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.